This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, no doubt the aftermarket is blazing busy, and we may think that Boomtown will continue without an end in sight. But what are your slow day action plans? Some who have not been doing things right are feeling the ebb and the flow of typical cycle times like holidays, back to school, vacations, weather, and travel. Hey, from the Aftermarket Radio Network, it's Carm Capriotto with Remarkable Results Radio Podcast. Now let this episode help you rethink how you prop up your business. Stop stopping. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Shopware and Broadleaf, for providing you this episode. You know, when you're working on cars, you want to be able to access your tools easily without hassle or clutter. The same goes for managing your shop. Eliminate the clutter of paper ROs with Shopware's digital shop management software. On the web, see my friends at getshopware.com. Hey, are you constantly being interrupted by customer calls when trying to make repairs? Well, with Broadleaf's web chat feature, you can respond to a customer's question right on your phone. Keep in touch with customer inquiries. Get Broadleaf on the web at getbroadleaf.com/chat. With me is Aaron Woods from Extra Mile Auto Care, Stillwater, Oklahoma. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, glad to be here, Carm. Looking forward to the podcast.
Good. And you're all my great friends, so I so appreciate you coming on and sharing. Also, Clint White is here, owner of Coaching with Integrity. Hello, Clint.
Hi, Carm. Thanks for having me back.
Glad to have you here, as he's recovering from being a little ill this week. So thank you. Thank you for being here, just a little. And my great friend, Kim Walker from Shop Marketing Pros and the soon-to-be-released Auto Shop Marketing Podcast from the Aftermarket Radio Network. We're so excited about that. Oh, my God. Yes.
Congrats, Miss Kim.
Thank you. We are very excited.
Yeah, we are. We are pretty darn excited. So, Aaron, I want to start with you. You tell me, hey, Carm, there's this really cool, most important thing in my toolbox to help and manage slow days. What is it?
We have to look internally as to maximizing what we have the potential to put out there. And that, all this, of course, starts with being proactive instead of a reactive standpoint. And so when there's a couple of things that I think about when I think about being proactive in this type of approach is things that we have right here at our disposal. So our shop management platforms, you know, how on top of tracking these visits do we have in the analytics that comes with our shop management system, but then also our, you know, CRM programs. How well are our CRM programs partnering up with us and managing these analytics so that we can get this information back out into the eyes of our customers of some of these, you know, past needed services, brand awareness reminders, just that constant, you know, every 6 to 8 months, you know, that in front of each and every one of our customers. I think that's important, especially as we see the trends in the automotive aftermarket world of these vehicles, you know, oil changes and things like that, intervals becoming longer, these visits of customers coming in are becoming more increased. So looking at ways that we need to increase our visits from each customer to come into our shop, of course, increases car count. Some of the ideas that we have been working on and came up with is somewhat not getting away from oil change reminders to customers, but adding on to tire pressures, you know, getting customers to come in and visit with us for tire pressure checks. It is just one more opportunity to have a touch point with each one of our customers. So anything that we can do to increase the touch points that we have with our customers, the ability to get that vehicle back in, to increase that car count, gives us the opportunities to stay top of mind with each one of our customers.
Kim, the car that you own, on the dashboard, does it actually tell you the number of the tire pressure, or does it just tell you if you're good or bad?
Okay, I'm going to sound super bougie right here, which I normally am not. But I just got a new car that like has all the things. So I just checked my app on my phone a couple of days ago for my tire pressure. And I've learned how to customize my dash. If Brian is watching right now, he's probably rolling his eyes. I can just see it now. He's like, oh my God, I can customize what's in my dash. Like, what do I want to see on a regular basis? And I'm a less is more kind of girl. So I turned all of it off and I just look at it whenever I want to. I'm sure that it will pop up if there's, you know, an issue. It definitely does in my app on my phone.
Here's what I love about what Erin said, and Kim, I think you helped us understand that if she does look at her pressure, and it is Erin Wood's place that's kind of sending that, if you will, marketing reminder, even if it's through social media or if it's through a text or an email, Erin, you're telling someone, we care about your tire pressure, so should you. When something comes up and it looks amiss, don't Google it, Google us. Ah, see, perfect, there you go. It's about awareness. I love the whole proactive idea of let's stay in front of the customer on some of their most important stuff.
Tires in general, if we're not just speaking about just tire pressures, but you know, in Oklahoma, where we are, is right now is the rainy season of the year. And so one of the things that we can incorporate in with these tire pressure checks would be a tire condition check. You know, if you haven't had to have your oil changed in 8 months, then the chances are the last time that your tires were inspected by a professional was most likely 8 months ago. And so anything that we can think outside of the box, for so many years, it was just oil change, oil change, oil change. And that was how we got that customer to return back to us on a 3 to 6 month type of basis. And that's changing. And I think we have to be innovative in how we get customers to come back and create more visits.
Looking at that app, I have a Lincoln Nautilus, which I'd never heard of before. That's a whole nother story, but I absolutely love this vehicle. It's 2 years old. It's new to me, but in that app, it's driving people to me to the dealership. It's right there. I can schedule the appointment right there within the app. So speaking of staying in front of your customers and not getting complacent with, well, we have a great relationship with them. My customers love us so much. Well, you know how easy it is for me to schedule that appointment? That phone is probably going to alert me. Your tire pressure is low. It's got 14% oil life. So I know that I need an oil change soon. I can literally just touch a button and schedule an appointment. So that's why our independently owned automotive repair shops can't think, oh, well, I have a great relationship. They're going to come back to me. When if that hits me at the wrong time and I'm so busy, the average person may just say, all right, I'm not going to Erin. I don't have time. I'm just going to click here and schedule this appointment. So you have to stay in front of them.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I think if we could help recover some of our slow times, you got to build a wedge between the app or the mentality that the dealer's the only place I can go and the independent. So I think, Kim, you may have just dropped the most important discussion here. How do we steer the mind of, say, a new car, used car, new car owner like you to the independent? Because maybe you always went to the independent, but now this new car, the intelligence of this new car is saying, hey, you don't need them anymore. We know. The app is speaking to me. It's Oz. And we have to react.
It's a good opportunity for shop owners to realize, you know, when you get that new piece of equipment, when you get a new tool, when you get all this cool, I mean, you're spending an incredible amount of money on the tools and equipment that are in your shop. But it's not like Brian laughs, my husband, that I just think, oh, that's a great social post, is you have to start training yourself that when you open that box, do you know that unboxing videos are like ridiculously popular? That's a great social post. And not only are you recruiting technicians, hey, you've got great equipment, great tools, great whatever, but you're also educating your clients on the tools and equipment that you have. So they're thinking, well, I got to bring this to the dealership because, you know, they have all the advanced stuff. You're showing you have it too. And so, you know, it's just really stopping yourself and slowing down for just a second and saying, you know, this might be something great for me to share.
Hey, if you run more than one shop, you know how vital it is to keep up with how each one is performing, but it can drive you crazy to log in and out of each shop's database as you try to compare KPIs. Well, stop making it hard. With Shopware's advanced analytics, you can easily pull all the data into one report. tech. You can even set up the system to pump it out in a graph or a chart, then email it to you anytime you want it. Why tax your brain before you even start looking for trends and wins to celebrate? Let the computer do all the work for you. Spend less time sifting through pages of numbers. Now, once you've seen your business's potential right in front of you, you can take steps to make it even better. Now, then you can take the night off to enjoy the time you just won back. Benefit. And go with the team that created DVX. My friends at GetShopware.com. You know auto shops with tons of five-star reviews, and that doesn't happen overnight. There's actually a strategy to getting all of those positive reviews. Now, Broadly knows how to do it because they are the experts at improving your web presence and increasing your number of five-star Google reviews. There's an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. Now, do you know when? Well, Broadly knows the best time to ask for a review is immediately after service. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied your customer's need for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Now, Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. I have to talk about something that happened yesterday that not many people know. Tracy and I went on a field trip yesterday, and she had a chance to do her own oil change. Get under the car.
Hey, fantastic.
Take the plug out.
Go, Tracy.
Indoctrinating Tracy into the industry, her level of curiosity, she knows so many people. She knows what a DVI is, but has never done one. So that's going to be another field trip. Let's go, you know, do a DVI. So we did it yesterday. And part of the DVI, but they wanted to show Tracy, was to take the electronic device near the TPMS sensor, read what the tire pressure is, and then take the laser tool and do all the tires. Well, she actually did all of that yesterday. And Kim, to your point, this could have been filmed, edited down to a minute and a half's worth of here's what we do to make keep your tires safe, to know what's going on, to look at your tread depth, and for people to go out and say, I know what my app is telling me, but Tom's Place does the same thing. It's all electronic. Look at that screen. Look at that laser thing. And so to the unboxing thing, I think you just nailed something so beautiful. Is why don't we do unboxing on some of the small little jobs that we do to lend confidence to our customer that we don't necessarily have to, you know, breed that high tech thing, but we're competent and we're strong. We've got great people. Let your own people do this. We're in the people relationship business. So great point.
If we don't tell them, how do we expect them to know?
Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah, I know. Clint is one of my favorite guys for acronyms. And I'm going to throw one at you right now, SDAP. And you can only imagine that stands for the Slow Day Action Plan.
Yeah, that's correct. And when we look at the issue at hand here today, today's topic of planning for slow times, I come from a organic methodology of how about we just don't have them at all. Now, you're going to have the ebb and flow. You're going to have the highs and lows. But I truly believe that in tandem with marketing, in tandem with social media, in tandem with customer follow-up and CRM, very important things, always be marketing, always be participating in those things. There's one thing that we have organically in the shop at the counter already that we completely let slide out the door. And that really is having a slow day action plan that revolves around the sales process. So let me just elaborate here. One of the most important things you can have in your shop to, again, build and facilitate this slow day action plan is a DVI that leaves no stone unturned. Everything has a picture, good, bad, middle of the road. Everything is documented. The DVI is sealed in stone. Whatever program platform you use, they're all the same in that I click the link and it's there forever. It is saved in some database in some mountain in Colorado for all time. It can be shared with family. It can be reopened. I'll give you an example. I was running a shop a few years ago, and our software would pop up a little bubble when so-and-so read their inspection. And it said, Mrs. Smith has just read her inspection. I was like, we haven't seen her since last summer. That's really weird. About 10 minutes later, the phone rings. She says, this is Mrs. Smith. I'm calling about my PT Cruiser. Can I get some of that work done? Well, yeah, absolutely. She walks in the door an hour later, drops off her keys, and $2,500 later, we did the timing belt and the tune-up and the motor mounts, and it's a PT Cruiser. You can imagine the rest of it. What that showed me was that if you do an inspection and do it well, with integrity, with an in-depth mindset, it's hanging out there as essentially marketing for your client, and it works. It brings people back. And so that's just the first of many different points. And I don't want to run away with the show, Carm, but that really is, I think, foundational to what's next, is that we have to pre-schedule declined repairs. You know, we spend a lot of money bringing in new clientele, right? We look at our customer attrition and, well, they're gone, let's get some new ones. And that's nothing wrong with that. But we lose sight of that market base that we have, the loyal, the tried, the true, the one that will get the notice on their phone that says, schedule at the dealership. I'm like, oh, no, I go to Extra Mile Auto Care in Stillwater, Oklahoma. That's my shop. That client right there many times can't afford every dollar of the initial repair. And so I'll role play it for you. Mr. Customer, your total investment today is $1,500 to restore your vehicle back to 100% safety and reliability. And we'll have it done for you by the end of the day tomorrow. Do you need to ride back when we're done? Customer says, I'd love to, only have $1,000 to invest. And so an improperly trained service advisor would say, well, okay, we'll do the $1,000. And he thinks to himself, I hit my ARO. I got my $1,000. I'm good. And then, well, we'll see on the rest of it. But what we do is we violate the integrity of our shop by saying the rest of it, which on the inspection was red, it's needed today, as you can see, we just let it go. And that right there is how we prevent slow days, by saying, Mr. Customer, I'll get started on the $1,000. Do you foresee having the financial resources in the next 90 days to take care of the last 500? As you can see in the inspection, it's still due today. I wouldn't feel comfortable driving any further than 2 or 3 months. And we pre-schedule a tentative appointment for those repairs, so that when the slow days happen, when will they happen? We don't know. But when they do, we've got appointments sometimes every day from pre-scheduled repairs from weeks and months ago.
That refers back to what's the tools that we already have, right? And so I think Clint elaborates on that really well. And to kind of touch base on, you know, and to build upon what Clint's saying is, I think advisors, we get into the sales process of the conversation, right? And I know some of our advisors, we've had to build this, and you know, the advisors create urgency, and it's urgency, and it's urgency, and this has failed, and this is needed, and we use these words. We get to the point where then when the customer says, "Well, I can do this," and, oh, okay. You know, and then the rest of it kind of just falls off the track. And so that follow-up type of process to create those additional appointments by maintaining the urgency of those services, I think is where we can, like what Clint said, have those appointments come back in, because customers are going to match our urgency. No, it's like we use the doctor analogy all the time. If you're at the doctor's office and doctor walks in and says, "All right, we got this, this, and this," and you're like, "Okay, well, I got time to do this." Okay, yep, sounds good. Like if the doctor isn't giving us the urgency for those other needed items, then we're going to match that. Yep. So I think Clint is 100% correct in the fact that we have to display the urgency, create the need, make the value match the need, and then follow back up with that customer to get them back in.
My takeaway is that the sales advisor is like the top of the mountain here. Their level of training, their commitment and caring, Aaron, which I heard you talk about, there isn't a customer that has declined work that doesn't lend itself to a slow day action plan, period. Not only from a safety and reliability fact, but if that was being done so well, Clint, you'd probably, who cares? You know, the earth is falling in and your shop is still built out 3 weeks because of how well you're managing that?
Consider this, Carm, that there's a strategy that many shops use where, I've worked for some great people in my career. And one of the frustrating things with working with these people is when it's slow, you know, the boss hollers from the back office, "Hey, what's your slow day action plan?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's slow right now. It's really slow. What do I do?" And so the knee jerk reaction is pull a report, go to decline services and begin cold calling. I think you'd have better luck re-upping somebody on their extended car warranty than selling from a cold call perspective. But when you tell a customer at the counter, "Do you foresee having the financial resources in 30 days?" I believe I do. "With your permission, I'll reach out to you on June the 6th and see where you're at. And if it's in your budget, let's get that taken care of." You go to your calendar, you put a note in your calendar, not appointment, a note. Then on June 6th, you're going to call this customer and say, "Hey, we talked about brakes. They were down to 2% a month ago. I'm guaranteed they're lower than that if you drove it. Would you be able to bring that in this week? I've got an opening this day or that day." That's an organic, authentic touch point versus and again, I don't want to offend, but like a blast email to 500 customers that, "Hey, you didn't do the thing. Come in and spend your money." That sometimes works. Not a huge return, but sometimes that works. I'm looking for something that's authentic and organic because, as we all know, we are in the relationship industry. We're not here to make money. We do that, and if you do it well, we're here to make relationships. And relationships require that we have empathy for the customer's situation, navigate, guide, and walk them through this process of keeping their vehicle safe and reliable for as long as they choose to own it.
So, Kim, as I have so intently listened to Aaron and Clint, I started to think about you. You are an absolute genius and a marketing specialist, you and your husband, Brian. Tie marketing into a perpetual slow day action plan.
One of the words that I've heard a couple of times, and it's funny, this was a word that I threw out, but Aaron's the one who has said it today. And then I think I even heard Clint say it as well, and that's being proactive. I take this back to when we were shop owners, right? Brian and I owned a shop as well. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is to take the time to look at like a yearly view. Plan and prepare for this because there are some slow times that you can predict. And what I mean by that is in our situation, we came up to the month of October. We were in Apex, North Carolina, very close to Raleigh. We realized every October we're slow. Why? What is happening? What in the world is going on? It was two solid weeks, but really stretched into three very slow weeks. And we were like, What is going on? And so we started looking at the numbers, digging in and really trying to figure out what's this trend that every October is happening with us. And you know what it was? Is the craziest thing. The North Carolina State Fair every single year played a huge impact on us. And it got to be something that we could predict. We knew ahead of time, hey, October's going to be slow. What are we going to do to plan for that? And so planning, preparing, being proactive, like we keep hearing this word. And so what we started doing was literally working with our enemy, right? And so not that the state fair was an enemy, but I mean, it was taking business from us. And so we started implementing something where if you scheduled and we used all of our marketing efforts to educate people and let them know. And so it was kind of a tiered thing. So if you got this much service done or scheduled during the state fair, so again, it's a tiered thing. So we were going to shuttle you. And keep in mind, this was, oh my gosh, we closed our shop in 2009. So it's been a while. But if you got this much service done, then we were going to shuttle you and we'd offer you a ride to the state fair, right? Because that's where they wanted to go. Next tier, you got tickets to the state fair and a shuttle. Next tier, you got tickets to the state fair, shuttle to the state fair, and we bought your ride tickets for you. And so we were working with what was happening. The fairgrounds were only, I don't know, like 10 miles away. So we had to really put a plan in place, not only to market and promote it, but also we had to have people in place to bring them to the state fair, go back and pick them up that afternoon, bring them back. So, I mean, it was a lot of work, but it helped us to get through a predictable slow time. Back to school, always a slow time. I mean, I don't know a shop that doesn't fight that issue. Holidays, you know, some people might be busy with the holidays because they're getting ready for road trips and taking their family on the road. But if you look ahead, there are some slow days that you really can predict. And then the ones that hit you by surprise where you literally are like, oh my gosh, we don't have anything scheduled for Wednesday. Well, that's when you pull out the slow day action plan that Clint's talking about. You know, we've had some clients that have reached out and are like, I don't know what's going on, but like this week, Wednesday is really slow. Like I need some stuff for that day. And email, you know, it's kind of hit or miss. Sometimes one thing we have found to be super, super productive and very helpful. Aaron mentioned utilizing what's at your fingertips, your shop software. Send a text message out and you have not only the declined work, but you also know who's due for services and all that. So you definitely have things you can tap into. But my biggest thing is knowing the slow times that are predictable.
This week's Aftermarket Weekly with Brett Beachler, he's a big process guy, and I can't wait to do another episode with him because he is nailing 40% of his clients on a pre-schedule because of predictive maintenance. They are so following through, and he has a method on how he does it. And if you actually watch Aftermarket Weekly, you'll see how he has designed his the service area and the client checkout to be different. So there's a real customer service advisor focus, nothing that detracts, no phones, no nothing out of the way. And they can seriously get into, you know, and Clint, I know you're big on that follow up, you know, the whole relationship thing and setting that appointment. And I think that's a big slow day action plan.
Absolutely. And just to tag on what Kim said, a couple of shops that I've worked with in the past and in the present, I know that they take those predictable slow times the week between Christmas and New Year's. I mean, just about every shop out there, that is going to be a dead week. Some are blessed with a lot of work, but most are not. They pack everything into 3 weeks in December and they just shut down. Everybody goes home for a week. They lose less money being closed than they would to be have the lights on and payroll being at full force for that week. I know of shops that they have a culture of everybody likes to go hunting, elk hunting. And so when it comes to elk season, they have elk camp and they shut down for a week. And you know what? That's not a bad month for them. They navigate and negotiate that and it actually works out well for them. Carm, you referenced follow-up. And one thing that I've done for years, it requires zero technology. It requires this, paper and pen. And so I call it my money list. And so every advisor, anyone working the counter has one of these that they write their notes from the phone calls on and flip to the next page next day and so on. And then you have one underneath. It's the money list. And when you have an interaction with a customer, let's say Mr. Smith needs shocks and struts and he would love to do them and he'd love to pre-schedule, but he just isn't there. And again, my computer's not going to pick up on this. It'll show a declined service, but it doesn't know the nuance of Mr. Smith and his financial situation. And potentially he's got some medical bills he's trying to pay off and trying to get ahead. And so I just make a note, Mr. Smith, year, make, model, phone number, saving up, and put today's date on it. And then when things begin to trickle down and I see a week, because I want to be proactive, right? I want to have that lead indicator as I look at my schedule and say, it's looking slow later this week. I'll call Mr. Smith and say, I know it's been a few months. I'm checking on you. How you doing? Are you get those medical bills paid off? And just want to make sure you're back on your feet. And want to let you know that my vendor is having a sale on shocks and struts and I can actually save you $200 on those shocks and struts this week if that's something that's in your budget. And if not, I understand, but I told you I'd look out for you. And many times you're able to recapture that sale with a discount, but it's not really a discount because remember, discounts are the tax you pay for being mediocre. So then I call my vendor and say, hey, I need some help on this one. Sharpen your pencil. And because I don't beat up my vendor on every single transaction, the ones I really need it, that day they had a sale. They just didn't know it. And so the money list methodology, very rudimentary, but it's very personable. And again, that's really my camp is I want to build relationships. I want to reach out to people based on their situation and follow up. I hate to use the word too much, authentically.
Aaron, it sounds like what Clint has just described to me is investing in futures.
You know, I've said to my staff before, and I know it's been mentioned in this session as well, but, you know, we are not in the auto repair business. I know some people before they knee jerk and throw something at me. We are in the customer business, right? And so auto repair is just the method or the way in which we take care of people. And so I think always looking at ways that you can strengthen a relationship, looking into the future, is always going to give you the shop owner the best leg up when it comes to creating these future visits. And the bigger picture, I think, and you know, we've all kind of touched on it, is the slow day action plan is something that has to be proactive and not reactive. If you are installing your slow day action plan when it's slow, that's you're behind the curve. You know, I love Clint's, you know, if anything, I'm sitting here almost just taking notes as Clint's talking. I mean, he just brings so much knowledge. And so, you know, kudos to Clint. But something I would like to also throw out there is we're thinking outside of the box, mm-hmm. is how many of us as shop owners, when is the last time that we got out of our shops and went out into the community? You know, how involved are we with our local chamber of commerce, BNI network groups? We have a group here in Stillwater called YPS, which is Young Professionals of Stillwater. How involved are we out in the community? And I know some people are more into the vibes thing than others, but I've always kind of been one of those, you get in what you put out, right? And so we want to go out into the community and raise the bar for our communities. What are we doing out there for our fellow community members so that we can, you know, in return, receive back from our community? So we did a deal where we had a school bus and we partnered up with the local schools and we advertised taking shoes, and we filled an entire school bus full of shoes. Wow. And so that was really cool. And that got a lot of, you know, of publicity, and maybe that's also for a marketing side of things well, but as Kim has so, you know, excellently demonstrated, that your slow day action plan is marketing as well. It's all combined into one. It's your CRM platform. It's your advisors following up. It's marketing. It's brand awareness. It's community involvement. We can't just do two of the six of these things, right? It's an entire package that comes together that eliminates the slow days, because our slow day action plan is something that we focus on 365.
Yeah,
we owe it to our industry. We owe it to our people. If somebody doesn't see the need to come visit us, then how many people are out there in unsafe vehicles unknowing? Right?
There you go.
Absolutely.
So it goes deeper than just driving a car count. We are helping people.
Yep.
Aaron's got me so excited because there's a couple of things that he just mentioned that I just have to throw in here. So we literally are in the process right now of putting together a possible campaign or idea for our shops. We'll send it out to our clients, but we'll also share this with any shop that's interested. Aaron, it's an organization called A Champions Shoes. They're friends of ours, the founders, and we're going to be putting together some stuff, but it's literally putting shoes out there for kids who need it. You just don't know what a new pair of shoes will do to a kid. And I used to be a teacher. I would see these kids come in and all the other kids have new shoes, new clothes, new hair bows, new backpacks. And these kids, you know, maybe they got a new shirt or a new pair of, you know, pants, but their shoes are just worn out. And so I love that you did that. I think that's a fantastic idea. And, you know, you talked about the marketing, and there was something, Brian, my husband, went to some event. I forget what he did. He always does crazy stuff. And he came back, and the thing that he learned from that, it was called immersion, and it was over in California. So Tim Agali, I think, is one who put that on. Brian's big thing that he came back with was, I have to stop stopping.
There it is. Like, always be marketing.
Stop stopping? What are you talking about? And so, you know, there's an ebb and flow to everything. And so you get all your marketing in place and you're doing your thing and you've got your customer service going and you've got, you know, all the things, but then you get comfortable because, hey, we're busy. And so you're like, let me push the pause button on this activity, or, you know, let me stop going to the chamber. So the chamber, I always say the chamber is a gym membership. You can't join the gym, not go, and then get mad that you haven't gotten healthier, you haven't lost weight, you haven't gotten stronger. Well, did you go to the gym? No.
I feel attacked.
Well, you're the one that brought it up. That's a life principle right there.
I mean, think about how that applies to everywhere in life. You know, with, like you said, the gym, if you don't eat healthy, you eat healthy for a while and then you don't eat healthy. Well, look what happens. You use your cruise control, then you shut it off. You've got a coach or a trainer and everyone's good. And so you shut that off too. And always be marketing. I'm glad that you brought that up because it's so, so true. Stay consistent in your efforts.
I think that was the title of a class that we taught not long ago. It was literally that, always be marketing. Maybe we stole it from you.
No,
do I owe you money?
No, I walked by and saw it. I just plagiarized.
That's great.
So Aaron, what else did you want to cover with us here today that we can help people understand that they always need to be marketing?
One of the sayings that we have really developed here in our culture of our shop is you're either growing or you're dying. What are we doing each day to grow as individuals, to grow as technicians, as leaders, as service advisors, or as people? So if you have that mindset that if you're not growing, you're dying, then I think that creates a hunger inside of you to learn. I think one of the best things that I have had in my, you know, short time that we've been established here is, you know, peers, other peer-to-peer groups, you know, 20 groups and things like that. And some of the best things that we have is to reach out to other colleagues in our industry and find, like, I'm actually flying one of our technicians in a couple months, I don't know if two, but to a different shop, and I want them to walk through that entire facility, and I want them to document what they're doing well, because one of the biggest things that we can do is learn from each other. And if we have that mindset that what we need to always be doing is not stopping and learning from each other, then I think that we can pick up and continue to lift the entire industry up. Sometimes we get, and I'm guilty of it. I'm sure a lot of people listening today are doing the same, where it's like we get guilty of seeing our own shop and our own processes and our own slow day action plans and our own marketing strategies. And you get into somebody else's, start picking their brain, and some industry colleagues are visiting their shop. And you may find that there's a whole side of things that is working out there that maybe we didn't think about. You know, if I could leave with one message, is either you're either growing or you're dying. So let's grow as an industry and go from there.
Excellent stuff, Aaron. Thank you so much. And I love the idea that you're sending a technician out to visit another shop.
Yeah, it's our shop foreman. We'll always be refining our processes. You know, our workflow and our efficiency is always a huge thing. So we're always looking to improve workflow, efficiency, safety, things like that. So I think it's going to be a good visit.
Good for you. We recently did, and I was just about ready to look it up. You're talking about visiting other shops. We had a great episode at Tunnel Academy 273, and that was the peer review where we actually captured a dialogue post-tour. So guys, what did you see and how did you help your fellow peer shop owner by what you saw at his place? Not only what you helped him with, but all the stuff you took back by observing how they run their business. So thank you for that. Kim Walker.
If y'all don't know, look up Nate Winston. I just met Nate within the last, I think, Carb, you probably have done a podcast with him. I've met him in the last couple of months, and he's been doing what you're talking about, going out and flying to different parts of the country and touring other shops. It's been really very cool to watch. I even told him, I think you need to write a book about all of your visits and what you've learned.
That'd be a cool book.
That's super cool. Yeah. So I have kind of two takeaways that I really want people to hear. And that is to look back at what's working. Like when you do have a slow day, what did you do that brought people in? So, you know, like Clint was talking about that secondary piece of paper, maybe, you know, compiling a note of the things that you've done that got people in very quickly. So you can put that into your slow day action plan. You know, if you don't have one, you have to kind of go backwards and find what has worked for you in the past. And then doing an assessment. I mean, we do marketing assessments, so whatever you want to put in that, but, you know, take a good look at how you look from the outside. Don't look at it from your shop owner's perspective, but look at your shop from a new customer's perspective. What do your reviews look like? What does your Facebook or Instagram presence look like? What's your website look like? Your Google business profile. So really getting a good picture of your weak areas, your strong areas, and taking the time to strengthen those areas that you can. And then lastly, the reason why a slow day is really bugging you is obviously financial related. So this isn't going to help that slow day, but when was the last time that you did a good financial scrub and looked at the dollars going out and maybe a crap ton of subscriptions that you're not using and you just haven't taken the time to cancel some things? Maybe you need to take some time to just cancel some stuff. You might free up hundreds or thousands of dollars worth of money that's going out the door. So
yeah, I actually did that before, and it was like $700, I think, is what it came out to be. Just things that you, and you're in the busy and you're in the hustle and the bustle. So
thank you so much, Kim. You know, we interviewed Mike McCullough. We talk about Profit First a lot. I was just looking up. It was Remarkable Results Radio 421, the interview that I did with Mike McCullough. You know, Aftermarket Weekly is the show that we do every single week, and we have a shop tour. And we've only had like 107 weeks of shop tours. And if you love to see inside of other people's shops, look at their equipment and what they're doing for their people and that whole entire customer environment as we get a behind-the-scenes tour. And if you miss the show that's live on Tuesdays, it comes out every single Saturday as a podcast, and it's on my YouTube channel. I'm going to have you back clean up, Mr. Clint. Thank you for being here also.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, humbly, thank you for the opportunity to be here and with industry greats as well. So I want to put a bow on this. We've talked about being proactive, which is key. Reactive can work, but it's not the best strategy. You want to be proactive in all that you do. We've talked about marketing. We've talked about reselling the value of the repairs and making sure your DVI is crisp and clean and laden with information and that customer relationship. But one of the things we haven't looked at is the positive nature of a slow time. The slow time is what I call the great revealer. It's an X-ray for your shop process. See, many shops right now are experiencing the luxury of the great boom, where you can't replace your car, you got to fix it. And prices have gone up and we're making more money and selling more billable hours than we have ever in our entire history. And there's no end in sight and we've got cars for weeks. And so whatever we're doing, whether good, bad, or mediocre, it seems to be profitable. But when the bathtub drains, you get to see the gunk on the bottom. And that's what a slow time will do for you. So although we're strategizing how to not have a slow time, embrace the fact that when it comes, and it will, evaluate your processes with a fine-tooth comb. And if there's anything that's missing or that could be improved, do so. And if you don't know how, reach out to a professional, a peer, somebody else who is in the industry who knows how to overcome those challenges. Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. And do not hesitate. Get on it.
I don't ever think we would have discussed drain the bathtub and see the gunk on the bottom ever on our podcast. So thank you for bringing that incredible analogy. Actually, I have a picture in my mind of what that would look like.
Raising the standard.
To tell a quick story to validate what Clint's saying is just last weekend, I was out on the lake with my boat, right? You know, I've been on this lake several times. I'm cruising along. Of course, here in Oklahoma, up until this last week, we've been in a major, major drought. And so lake levels and water levels are really far down. And I'm cruising along and I come along this cove and I happen to look over there and I see this huge, huge tree that's down that's sitting on top of this sandbar. My first reaction to this is I have been on this lake for 5 to 6 years and I have never saw this tree on this sandbar right here. And it what scared me is that how many times I drove right over that spot and never knew it was there. And so the water level being down is what has allowed me to see some of these problem areas that when the bathtub fills back up, those problem areas can be avoided.
Absolutely.
Clint, I'd have to suggest that Aaron put the bow on this episode.
Do it.
No, No, absolutely. Sir, that is 100% Clint. I am a student of Mr. White. So,
well, thank you so much, Aaron Woods, Extra Mile Auto Care, Stillwater, Oklahoma. Clint White, Coaching with Integrity, and Kim Walker, Shop Marketing Pros. Thank you all for being here. Great episode, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me, Clint.
Thank you.
And Carm. And Kim.
And we're out.
Hey, I'm a multitasker, so I've been like posting and stuff during this thing. Aaron, I can't find you on Instagram. Are you on Instagram or your shop?
No, I probably need to. wait, hang on.
Well, you don't get tagged.
I can't hear you. I don't know what.
The connection is bad. I gotta go.
That's awesome.
This microphone, I don't know.
Cutting out yet again.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's very fuzzy, but.
You'll be getting a call.
I have nothing to say about that.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.